Daniel chapter 1, please. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, as we began this last week, and Daniel has and his three friends have been have refused to partake of the king's meat. They took a stand. They had the convictions before they took the stand. They were able to take that stand, refuse that, and they said, put us to the test and see how things fare. Look at Ephesians 6. This ordinary meal became an opportunity for them to be a testimony. He requested, as I mentioned last week, and didn't pitch a fit about it. He just requested that they might try this and see how things went. And he was respectful and pleasant in his stand that he took. Look at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then that's what we need today, is people willing to take a stand. As I mentioned last week, Daniel's about 15 at this time. It's not like he's an adult. He's just a teenager. I don't know if the others are that same age or not, but Daniel's about 15. And he took this stand with the others. And for some reason, he's the spokesman of the four of them. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's a complete trust in God, acknowledging him. Go back to Daniel now, and I guess I should have read these verses first before we started off on that. But again, Daniel chapter 1. Look at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. That one thing you need to see, too, is the working of God behind the scenes in all of this. You saw it with Joseph. Joseph was able to gain favor of those there, and it says here, God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God's in control of the situation here. Verse 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should we see your faces worse liking unto the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. God's brought him in favor, but the prince is afraid of the king. He says, look, you're putting my neck on the line here, bud. Verse 11, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be like looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented unto them in this matter and proved them 10 days. He said, look, just give us a chance. Just 10 days. Daniel's convinced that 10 days is going to be sufficient to prove the point. The prince of the eunuchs recognizes that 10 days isn't going to be enough to get him to lose his head if it doesn't work. So, okay, I can do that. Reasonable request. Presented in a pleasant manner. A request, not a demand. Just give it a chance. Let us see. And he's taken the stand. He's put his trust in God. Now it's in your hands, God. We're doing this for you. We're doing this because we don't want to be defiled by the wine or the strong drink or the meat of the king. Probably or offered to idols and so forth. And that's why they didn't want to do that thing. So they put that all in God's hand. He trusted God completely to deliver him in this situation. Verse 16. Thus Melzar took away the portions of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave... Well, where'd it go here? Verse 15, I'm sorry. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. They were better off than the others. It wasn't just the same. It wasn't just that there was no regression in their condition. They were better off by what they did. And then verse 16, thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. Well, that was a no-brainer, right? He'd be a fool at this point to change their diet. And God, again, in control of the whole situation here. Verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So God's put him in a place of favor with this guy who is in charge of them. As Daniel made the appeal to him, he listens to it, he responds, okay, I'll give you a chance. Now, he sees that what they requested has benefited them. Instead of causing him problems, it's been a benefit. And then God has given them this wisdom and so forth beyond that. Let's look at some verses. We're familiar with these passages, but I want you to look at these. Proverbs chapter 2, let's start there. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. Daniel seems to be favored with an extra measure even beyond the other three there. Daniel 2 and verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26. Ecclesiastes 2:26. For God giveth to man what is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But the sinner he giveth travail to gather, to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Verse 14. Settle therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which with all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. God gives wisdom. Our problem is we don't trust God like we should. God says, I'm going to do this. I will give this to you. And you get in a situation, you get afraid. How do I talk to that person? How about trusting God to give you the answers that you need? God gives wisdom and understanding. That's what the Holy Ghost within us is for. To give us those answers when we need them. But too often times, we're afraid to take the stand. Oh, I can't do that. Yeah, you're right, you can't. But God can. Trust what he said he would give to you. Look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now this is very early in the first century church. Chapter 5 was what we read about this morning, where Ananias and Sapphira were killed because of their actions there. Just probably not even a year since Pentecost. These new people are ordained. They're sent forth. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. God will give you wisdom if you're willing to use it for his glory. Trust him. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God has a purpose for these young men. God's going to do something in and through the lives of these men. The plan's unfolding. God gave them favor. God gave them wisdom that they need. And we get into chapter 2 and we see that thing. You know what's required on their part? Submission. Surrender to the plan and purpose of God. Willingness to be used of God for the plan and the purpose to unfold. I was thinking about this afternoon, studying this, and I went back about 16 years, and I remember talking with Eileen one night and talking about this group of people that we're going to start meeting with, and she asked me, what are we going to do? I have no idea. Are we going to start a church? I don't know. Does God want us to? I don't know. But I'm willing if that's what he wants. That's all it takes is a willingness and a submission to God. And God can take care of the rest. That's where this started, folks. And some willing people willing to come along with us to get the work done. It wasn't me. It wasn't us. It was us that did this. Actually, it was him. And a willingness on our part to be used of God for his plan to unfold. I didn't foresee any of this. This isn't according to my plan and purpose. When we moved to Pennsylvania in 2000, I had no plan whatsoever of starting a church. 2001, I had no plan whatsoever of starting a church. 2002, I really didn't have a plan. I did not want to start a church. But I was willing. And you were willing. And the plan and purpose of God is unfolded, just like it's done with these men here. Questions or comments thus far? Verse 18. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like the Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all their realm. So these guys, there was I think it was about 4,000 total that were brought from Jerusalem to Babylon. These four are among them. They have been turned over to the prince of the eunuchs for 3 years. They were supposed to have that diet in addition to being taught and trained in all the wisdom and the understanding of the Chaldeans. So these guys have submitted to what was presented to them. 3 years have taken place of, except for the diet, the one thing they resisted, but they've taken in the learning that's been given them. The learning of the language, the learning of the ways, and all the other things that the knowledge and the skill and the understanding was going to be given to them. They applied themselves to what was presented to them. So there was that submission, their willingness to do, but then the willingness to apply themselves to what they could do. You know, it isn't just a matter of sitting back, okay, well, God's going to give me all the knowledge. No, God can do that. But there was still some learning and understanding that was required on their part, some preparation. So for 3 years, they've been preparing, and now they're brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And he begins to question them and talk with them. And what he finds that these four guys, it says, are 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. Suppose that made an impression on him? These guys got something. There's something there. God gave him the wisdom. They applied themselves to gaining the knowledge and the skill and the understanding. It wasn't developed by playing video games and watching TV all day long. They studied for 3 years. Bible Institute. Verse 21. And Daniel continued, even under the first year of King Cyrus. It's interesting that he tacks that on at the end of this chapter. He suddenly jumps 70 years into the future, or 67. Daniel was 15, roughly, when he was taken captive, brought to Babylon. Verse 21, he's 85, roughly. He got to see Ezra and Nehemiah getting back into the land. After having watched Nebuchadnezzar come in and rape the women and pillage the country and destroy everything that was left, and turn it over to the poorest of the people, taking all the good stuff to Babylon with him. Daniel watched all that. And then he gets to see Ezra and Nehemiah, leading people back into the land. Where are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Have they died by this point? We don't know. But for some reason, Daniel's the only one mentioned that continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. Questions or comments? Chapter 2. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. Now, I'm not sure what to do with this second year thing here. It doesn't seem to quite fit the way we would normally put the thing together. Go to Jeremiah chapter 25. This might be part of the answer anyway. Jeremiah chapter 25. And verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah, all the people of Judah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. So remember last week I said that the last four kings that reigned over the kingdom of Judah, three of them were sons of Josiah. There was Jehoiachin, a son of Josiah. He lasted 3 months. Then Jehoiakim, or no, I'm sorry, it wasn't Jehoiachin. It was Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, lasted 3 months. Then Jehoiakim, who is also called Eliakim, his brother, Josiah's son, became king in his stead. He was there 11 years. He was king when they went into captivity. Then his son, Jehoiachin, became king. He lasted 3 months. And then his uncle, a brother to Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim, also became king. He was the one whose eyes were put out when they were carried captive to Babylon. So this is the second of those two sons of Josiah that reigned. It's in his fourth year. It says that it was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Well, now they haven't been carried captive yet. But it says that Nebuchadnezzar gets this dream. When was it? The second year. Well, I'm not questioning what it said there. What I'm wondering is, did some time elapse between the dream that he got and then actually presenting it to the magicians? Okay? So just throw that out to you there. But he gets the dream in the second year, and actually says he dreamed dreams. Might have been the same dream over and over and over again. And it says, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. So then we come to chapter or verse 2. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were not brought. This was just the magicians and astrologers of the realm of Babylon. They weren't included in those who were called at this point. Well, now, we just read in verse 20 of the previous chapter that these four guys were 10 times better than everybody else. So if he already knew that, why wouldn't he have brought them at that point? So this would seem, you know, I haven't got the chronology of this whole thing figured out, but there just seems to be some things that don't quite match up to me, and I haven't got it figured out yet. But he doesn't call them. He only calls the Chaldeans. And he speaks about this dream, and he says, you know, I need to know what's going on. This thing's troubling me. And then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants to dream, and we will show thee the interpretation. No problem, king. Just let us know what it was. We'll fill you in. Hold it a minute. Verse 5. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you'll make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, or if you not make known to me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. And if you show me the dream and the interpretations thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. And therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. So he says, see, here's the problem. I don't know what the dream is. And if you guys are who you claim to be and have this knowledge and wisdom to be able to interpret the dream to me, then you ought to be able to tell me what the dream is. And if you can't do it, I'm going to cut you into bite-sized bits and feed you to the dogs and make your houses a waste disposal plant. If you do it, you've won the lottery. You're getting honored and rewards and everything. So, but you got to tell me the dream to do that. And I look at that thing and I think, I suspect that Nebuchadnezzar questions these guys' ability. That's why he's done that. He throws this out to him, and I think he's just playing with him. Here's your assignment. Go get to it. Verse 7. They answered and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we'll show thee the interpretation of it. But, king, no. Verse 8. Then the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time. See, he's questioning some things there. Because you see, the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, and there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. So fill me in, or I'm not going to trust what you tell me if you can't tell me what that dream is. Verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things that any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. They're getting desperate now. That's kind of a shaky ground that they're on there. Because they're challenging the king, who has the power to take their heads off or cut them into bite-sized pieces. Verse 11, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth. Now watch this. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. You see what just happened there? These guys set the table. A human can't do that. It's not possible. Only the gods, and they're not here. They don't dwell with flesh. Well, as a matter of fact, there's one that did. And God is behind the scenes. Thank you, boys. Just what I needed. You got everything set up for me. They have set the table for Daniel. Because man can't do it. They declared that. They've set the criteria. Questions or comments thus far? Sarah. No, these are the Chaldeans. These are Babylonians. Right. They're different people. Yep. That's right. That's why I think this took place before the 3 years was up. But I'm not sure, because it just doesn't make sense. If he knew they were better, why didn't he call them in the first place? And they weren't even a part of this, as we'll see in just a moment. Okay. Chad?
I was just going to mention it was probably during this 3 year process.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, it said it had 3 years to prove itself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be the second year of the captivity. I suppose that's possible. Yeah. And he hadn't. It doesn't seem to me. It doesn't seem like he would have interviewed him yet, because once he interviewed him, you know, 10 times better. I mean, that's, you know, why go for second best when you got, you know, why go for a Ford when you got a Chevy right there? You know. Any other questions or comments? Verse 12. For this cause the king was angry and very furious. I mean, these guys have really crossed the line here with their challenge to what he's doing. And commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. They were never even called. They weren't even aware of this until now. They weren't. This was just the Chaldeans, astrologers and so forth, that were the Babylonians that were brought into this thing at this point. But now the phonies have been exposed. The criteria has been established. And Daniel and his friends are being sought. Verse 14. Then Daniel answered, because again, verse 13, the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. So the executioner shows up at Daniel's door. Okay, boys, come on. Time to be cut up into little pieces. Now Daniel's aware of what's going on. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. So the guy shows up, and Daniel's response is not panic, not hysteria. Oh, we're all going to die! What's the big hurry? Why is the king in such a big haste about this thing? Just a calm, meek response. They understand that God's hand is upon them, I believe, at this point. God has brought them here. God has shown, got them in favor with the man that's in charge of them. They have said, we're standing. We're not going to defile ourselves with the wine that the king drinks or the king's meat. And they are blessed through that thing, coming out better than that. It's okay. I don't know what's going on here, but God's got a purpose. And God didn't bring us here to get executed. So what's the hurry? What's going on? Verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So first he says, look, don't understand why you're in such a hurry. Let me talk to the king. Could you give us a little bit of time on this, I'll give you the answer. And obviously the king grants the request. This guy was furious just a short time ago and ready to execute everybody. But Daniel comes in, he gets the reprieve. Then he takes it to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, explains what's going on there, and says, again, verse 18, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret. They don't have the answer yet, but they know who does. Okay, guys, time for an all-night prayer meeting. Let's go to God. Let's get the answer that we need. Let's get the interpretation of this dream for the king. Verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. God gave him the answer. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. God told Solomon, ask what I shall give thee. What do you want? What do you need? They go to him. Verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Now look, the king's waiting for an answer. Suddenly, it's been revealed to them. But the first thing that Daniel does is not run to the king with the answer. He goes to the King of Kings and thanks him. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now that we what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Thank you, God, for your answer to prayer. Thank you, God, for the illumination that we need. They went to the light for the illumination, and they got it. Wisdom and might are his. God's in complete control of all the things that are taking place. Verse 24, therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto him the interpretation. This didn't just spare Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. It spared them all. Even though the others didn't deserve it. But Daniel says, hold it. Let's spare them all. And he goes to the king with the interpretation. Questions or comments before we stop there tonight? Yeah, you could say that. Yeah. He's not maybe the clearest one, but there's, in a sense, he would be, yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Then.
One man's relationship with God was a channel for grace for men.
Mm-hmm. There was one point I was going to make, and I jumped over it and didn't still see it in my notes here. But think about this. We look at the lion's den, and we look at the fiery furnace when we come to the book of Daniel. That's where all the emphasis is, right? But look at this. This is where it started. And the conviction for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to take a stand before the fiery furnace, not to bow to the king, and for Daniel to continue praying when he was told not to pray, started back here. Actually started before that, but you know, was manifest there. This response of theirs is probably ought to be emphasized just as much as the other two instances. Nate? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now it's, you know, it's, and something else that I found kind of interesting is Daniel's hardly mentioned outside of the book of Daniel. He's not in the New Testament. Maybe once, I forget what it was. There might have been one reference there. But and he's in Hebrews chapter 11, but not by name. It just says, stop by faith. They stop the mouths of lions. His name's not... Samson's in Hebrews 11 by name, and Daniel's not. But there is one place in Ezekiel chapter 14. I think there's maybe about five or six times Daniel's mentioned by name outside of the book of Daniel. And twice in this chapter he's mentioned. Verse 14 of chapter 14 of Ezekiel. I'll start at verse 12. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off men and beasts from it, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. And then verse 19. If I send pestilence into the land and pour out my fury upon it and blood to cut off from man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job are in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall be but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. So Ezekiel knew Daniel. I mentioned last week that they were contemporaries. And, you know, I don't know where, you know, this falls in regard to Daniel's age, but Daniel has made a name for himself by the time Ezekiel is writing. And what company? With Noah? Job. Just men, perfect in their generations, fearing God and eschewing evil. Those things aren't specifically stated about Daniel, but that's the company that Ezekiel puts him in. And he says, when this judgment begins to fall upon the nation of Israel, if these three guys were there, the only ones that are going to be delivered are themselves. Their righteousness isn't sufficient for anybody else. But they would be delivered. Any other questions or comments?
Matthew 24.
What is that? Oh, about the, in the, something about,
desolation.
Oh yeah, the, that's right, abomination of desolation. Anyone else? Any other questions? Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you for the example of Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Lord, I pray that you'll challenge us to be willing to take a stand to be willing to do what's right and pleasing in your sight. Lord, I challenge these young people here tonight to do the same. Lord, if we've been guilty of dismissing them, forgive us. God, help them to see that their age is not a barrier to serving God. The only barrier is our unwillingness. God, help us to be willing. Help us to take note from this and take courage from it and desire to be used of you. We pray in Jesus Christ's name.